The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot-button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond. Stop it.
Just shut up.
What?
No, this is getting good. Keep going.
All right, everybody.
Where are you going with
this? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 427. I'm Max Scoville. Screwing me up entirely and rearranging the order that people are sitting in, we've got Alana Pierce.
Hey.
Wow.
Max is very easy to confuse.
And then over here, Marty Sliva, who usually sits next to me.
I'm really uncomfortable. This is my unlocked seat, and so I feel like I'm going to
start talking. Yeah, why don't you try driving on the wrong side of the street and see how that goes? You'll probably die in an accident.
I do that very regularly.
Yeah,
it's really scary going to the store.
It was terrifying to get pizza with you.
All right.
Are you a terrifying driver?
Well, I'm on the wrong side of the road.
And then also...
Oh!
Right.
Gosh, I didn't even think about
and
that.
And then also, Jared Petty is
Hello,
here
everybody.
As well.
Thank you for having me, Max.
We're here in the podcast room to make a podcast. This is Podcast Beyond. It's a radio program that we do once a week or so.
But never actually broadcast over radio
about
waves.
PlayStations.
It has nothing to do with radios.
How they keep making games for it.
They do.
What are we going to do about that?
I don't know.
21 years and counting.
That little box is old enough to get drunk now.
It is.
Yeah, so what's going on? What's new? It's a rainy old Tuesday.
It got nice. It was all sunny.
Was it?
It was real sunny when we went to get coffee.
Oh,
it
got nice, really?
Yeah, it's very sunny outside.
Brian's in New Jersey. He took shots with his 91-year-old grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's rad.
Yeah. Shots fired.
Yeah. Andrew Goldfarb's not feeling well.
Yeah.
What does his grandpa prefer for shots? Like, what's a 91-year-old Italian guy from
New
Jersey?
That's a very
drink?
Good question.
Sauce.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's probably some kind of weird, like, Italian
aperitif
liqueur.
Or something.
Yeah, like a limoncello or something. Yeah.
Like Strega, maybe? You ever had Strega?
That's not a real word.
What is that's
Strega Genesis?
I killed one of those in The Witcher.
Yeah, Strega's like a...
Strega out of Compton?
Really kind of wonderfully potent, like, liqueur. It's just like that.
That sounds,
is that the thing in those... What's the thing in those little bottles at bars?
I don't know.
There's alcohol?
I think it's Strega.
No. No, it's like the thing. It looks like Chewie's bandolier.
Oh, Underberg?
Like Underberg.
Yeah.
No, it means witch, though. I love that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Then I did actually kill one. And that's a Striga?
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going on.
All right. Yeah. No one does. So here's a thing that we don't know anything about, but we're going to talk about anyway. Hideo Kojima and Mark Cerny, that's the inventor of sneaking around a box and the inventor of the PlayStation. not really. But they're having a 10-day smooch fest. That's what it says on my paper.
Yeah, I love
that,
you read that literally. That is exactly what it says.
This is really exciting. Cerny, who designed the PS4 as well as the Vita, as well as Knack.
He's like a wunderkind.
Everyone's favorite, Knack.
And Marvel Madness.
Knack 2 confirmed. Yeah. I mean, that's what this is all about.
I'm so happy about this.
No,
Knack's a real fan favorite.
No, it's not. No one likes Knack.
I'm being sarcastic.
But imagine a Hideo Kojima Knack. I mean, what a game.
What
I mean,
if they're just doing a two-man game jam and Mark Cerny's like, no one liked it. How do we make it fun? And Kojima's like, well...
Bunch it to the ground.
Flaming whales.
Yeah. Flaming whales.
Stories that read like Mad Libs.
Yeah. A very tall ladder.
Very tall ladder. That'd be good. Great theme song. Gotta have a great theme song to go with it. Let's see. Invisible dudes in an elevator.
Yeah.
Bomb in your inventory.
Okay.
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 Those.
Okay.
This is
you're
really
just,
good.
You're just
so far.
Going down Metal Gear spoilers.
Yeah.
We've had complaints about that, Jared, is that you do these things where you're like, I know this is a spoiler, but everyone listening has heard it already, so
okay,
I'm going to go ahead.
If you hadn't said it was a Metal Gear spoiler, then maybe they wouldn't have tied it to Metal Gear.
Now they're going
to
claim it.
Maybe
they
thought it was a Knack spoiler.
People are saying this might be
a Knack spoiler.
Here's a Knack spoiler. Yeah. The collectibles always recycle in random locations.
So here's a Knack spoiler. It bombed. No one liked it.
Yeah, it was so terrible.
Yeah, but the interesting thing about this is, like, yeah, they're hanging out for 10 days. They're sort of doing this little brain trust thing. And people are sort of wondering what this means because a guy like Cerny is, I'm imagining, they're already working on the PS5 or whatever the next thing after the PS4 is. Like,
you think
is,
so?
Yes. I think as soon as the console launches, I think there's already a little group tinkering and rutting around in the corner. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I totally agree.
Putting some things together. Yeah. And so I imagine this is more of just, I mean, these two guys are forward thinkers. They think about what's going on 10 years from now as opposed to what's going on right now. And so I imagine this is more of just a, hey,
we value our partnership. Mm-hmm. Let's work on that in the future.
Yeah, and let's sort of go back and forth on what do we want to see in future hardware?
Yeah.
And how do we get the most out of this current POX?
They post a thing on Twitter, and now we're doing a podcast.
Now we're doing a podcast. Yeah, obviously it worked.
They succeeded.
I kind of assumed that instead of like them having a staple plan or something they're working on, it's a relationship thing.
Yes.
For both of them, they're like, I value you, and I know that I need you in the future. Let's be friends for 10 whole days.
So they're playing two-player Marble Madness together, side by side. They're going up in the mountains and shooting guns like Kojima.
They're
getting liquored up and throwing empties at pigeons.
Of course it did.
You talked about that starting on a hardware early on. When I taught in Japan, I had some students that worked at Sony, and one of them told me that they had a chance to work on a very early PS2 prototype. Mm-hmm. And the way it was laid out originally, it was large enough that you walked into it.
Oh, Jesus.
Like the very first one he worked on, actually you could go inside of, he told me. Now this guy could have been yanking my chain, but that they had everything kind of spread out all over so you could work on all of it and experiment with things. And it was large enough that you walked into it.
I love the idea of they were just tricking you.
Yeah, they may have been completely
lost. Yeah, but I also like the idea of that being true because it's awesome.
Yeah, I really thought that was a cool story.
They just make everything out of Shrinky Dinks and they're like, all right, let's roll it in the big toaster oven.
Yeah, well, the main thing was they didn't want
to be consumer size.
He said that part of it was just they didn't want anybody to look in and see it, but they had actually just kind of fastened the components into the sort of box
really cool.
that they worked in. And
it was actually a time machine. Yeah. Some people were like, whoa, does this mean that Koji Pro's first game is going to be a PS5 game? And I'm like, no, that doesn't mean that. Like, we'll see a game in this generation.
Yeah, no, that seems very unlikely.
I think this is just like what you guys said. I think this is a relationship thing. These are two very important people for the future of Sony. And so I like the idea that the two of them are working together.
Major Havoc 2.
I like that they're just splitting a nice bottle of Chardonnay.
Yeah.
Chardonnay.
Playing some Knack.
Good old Tom on a nice back porch someplace.
Yeah. I like new bearded Kojima.
Yeah?
Yeah. New bearded Kojima.
I can't wait till he gets an eye patch and a mullet.
Finally,
and a horn.
Finally becomes
transforms.
And a robot arm.
Becomes a devil dog.
Makes sound effects.
He and Igarashi go side by side and have adventures together.
Oh,
just
my God.
Become like two of them become Saturday morning cartoons.
Igarashi's the weirdest dude.
Yeah. So the verdict on Kojima and Cerny is that this is probably just them hanging out. That's kind of the takeaway here.
I think so.
I think it's them hanging out. And, I mean, Cerny was the architect for the PS4, so no one knows that hardware quite like him. So.
Have we heard anything about his involvement in PlayStation VR? Because presumably if he designed the PS4, he might know some of the little bells and whistles.
Yeah,
and
that's a really interesting point, too, because maybe that's something, maybe Kojima is totally some of the kind
Mark
of dude
Cerny
who
helps you set it up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I can definitely imagine him making a PSVR game.
God, I would love.
Wouldn't that be cool?
I just want, instead of Kojima doing his $1 billion game every 7 years, I want him to just release little things all the time.
Like Silent Hill PT.
Yeah, exactly.
VR?
Amazing.
I mean, that's
like the weird thing, like what I want from, I think I said this before on the podcast, but what I would want from a thing like Silent Hills is to have it be like a little anthology thing where seven different creators make these little spooky games and it's all in the same package. This is
survival horror.
Yes, totally. These bite-sized half-an-hour things, hour-long things that a bunch of different rad people made.
That would be very marvelous.
Cool.
Yeah. Grasshopper was doing that, weren't they? They did something where they teamed up with, I think, a bunch of anime creators and they were like, it was an anthology approach, but it was sort of, the issue with that is that frequently people get kind of quagmired with like contracts and they, you know, it's like somebody wants to get the rights to this or that. And it's hard to package all that at once. That's why I'm assuming, you know, Grindhouse, you had Death Proof and you had
Planetera.
Yeah. And there's no two pack of those.
Mm-hmm. There is, but it's only on Blu-ray.
Okay.
I own it. Yeah.
Okay.
It was only released on a Blu-ray.
Out the gate, they never did that. They released them separately.
Right.
They did them separately, and then they finally released a theatrical cut not too long ago on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which, by the way, you should buy because that's the superior cut of that movie.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's. I mean, that's kind of the thing. Is like it's when you have the combination of business and creativity, it gets sticky.
Yeah, I thought it was super flawed, but I thought that Animatrix was really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
like,
yeah.
As a thing. Mm-hmm. Like, as whatever, 9 different
it's
shorts.
Better than Matrix.
Yeah, honestly, especially 2 and 3.
Yeah. What was the one with the ghost house in it? That was a great short.
Oh, yeah.
That was really good.
Spookyville.
Yeah. It was not called Spookyville.
It was called Spookyville.
That's not true.
That was a lie.
Yeah.
Oh.
My first, my first lie of the episode.
Did anybody remember that?
You're really good at lying, Marty. It's
if you can actually find all 5 of Marty's lies in this episode, you will win
a copy of Knack.
A fake prize, because that is one of my lies.
Bam.
Okay, yeah. Here's a cool thing. I like this a lot. Platinum Games, ? Is making a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game, ?
I like how this... So this is still unconfirmed, even though the achievements are out.
They haven't announced this game, but we've already seen achievements, and we've seen a whole bunch of real pretty screenshots.
Yeah.
Holy crap, this game looks cool.
It looks
really pretty.
Cool.
Yeah, and Max, you were texting about it, and you were pointing out a bunch of the characters, like what you think are going to be. Because they show Bebop and Rocksteady, or they show one of them?
Yeah, they show Bebop. Bebop's in there. There's also a Rock Soldier, which leads me to believe that General Trag might be making an appearance.
I don't know what that means at all.
General Trag is a man who looks like if you made the thing from the Fantastic Four put on a pair of... some fatigues and a hat.
That's the best part about him is that he's made out of rocks and he wears a helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's
you
got to
protect
redundant.
Your rocks somehow.
Yeah. Well, I like this because unlike the Michael Bay movies, this is sticking very closely to the original. This is kind of what Platinum did with the last Transformers game, which that was received all right. People seem to be
it was definitely better received than Korra was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It also looked just as cool. I didn't play it, but it looked very, very cool.
Yeah,
it
looked gorgeous.
It was fun. It was kind of shallow, but it was fun for what it was.
Yep.
I mean, I love Transformers a whole lot, but you get to a point where like you can only have so much relatability with trucks. You know, like, they're never going to be like, they'll be like, I'm going to get a nice slice of Energon pie. And I'm like, I relate to that as someone who eats human food that you're sort of referring to. But
you're a weird machine truck.
But the turtles blend themselves well to a kind of brawler like that, fairly shallow, platinum styled, rolling around different maneuvers, doing cool things, team attacks.
I like that it's not doing the Michael Bay thing where it's trying to make them dark.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I think of Ninja Turtles, I think of them being goofy and joking together and weird dumb stuff that's really overdramatic happening. I like that it's lighthearted.
Weird brothers who are ninjas and eat pizza in the sewers with their weird rat dads.
Well, it's somehow relatable. It's really cool.
And this is kind of appears to exist at sort of a midpoint between the Eastman and Laird comic, which is kind of dark, frankly. Even though it's goofy, but it's a black and white comic. And it's got darker themes to it. And the cartoon show Bebop's presence, for example, or the Rock Soldiers are indicators that they're going that cartoon route.
Yeah.
But the style reminds me much more of the old comic book that I grew up reading.
I haven't read the comic.
Baxter Stockman does 9/11.
He kind of does, yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Wow.
Yeah,
Baxter Stockman attacks the World Trade Center with Mausers.
Also, he's black.
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And April O'Neil is a computer programmer.
He's being played by Tyler Perry in an upcoming film.
What is happening? Or is any of this true?
All that's true.
Yeah, all that's true. Except
all
the Tyler
true.
Perry part.
No, that's actually true.
Oh, is that actually true, too?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
No lies there, Mike.
Cowabunga, dudes.
April O'Neil's a computer programmer. Casey Jones is a mentally unstable handyman. And Shredder dies in, the first issue.
Spoilers. Jared!
It's a 22-year-old comic book.
Doesn't matter.
It's old enough to drink again.
I'm really excited about this game. I think that
the rule, sorry to cut you off, that if something's old enough to drink, then we're allowed to spoil it.
Okay, well that's a good rule.
So
it's an interesting rule. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it might have been the second. Depend on where, because you can drink in France.
In Australia, you can talk about something when it's 18. Yeah.
Okay. That's because it's yesterday.
Is the drinking age 18 in Australia?
Yes.
Okay.
Wait. So, going on that, I'm wondering, this is sort of seems like a thing Platinum is going to do from now on. Like, they're going to have their, giant scale-boundy things, which isn't coming out till next year. But then they also have, seemingly once a year, they've somehow gained the rights to all these cool properties. Like Korra and Turtles and Transformers.
They are actually very different properties, too.
Yeah, but they all sort of work and sort of make sense.
I mean, the art style that they have, or the engine that they're using, is totally consistent, and it works with all three of them. Like, they obviously adapted to be Platinum-esque with the way that they look, but it still works in each of those different universes somehow, which I really like.
Yeah.
So my understanding is that and I don't know how much of this is just speculation, hearsay, and how much of this is true. I've sort of heard that they were given the rights to Korra as kind of an audition type thing for Activision, because they were like, hey. Mm. What if we buddied up? And Activision's been—they've been making kind of so-so licensed games for a while now. Yeah. Like, And there's always the always. I think they have maybe a set budget they want to work within, and some developers have trouble with that. But that's why we see this kind of weird sliding scale of quality with like the Spider-Man games, or like Deadpool was extremely okay game.
Yeah,
like
yeah, you're right. It was totally okay.
Yeah, very junk food. But like it,
totally
you got the sense that.
Food.
Yeah. If that had been tightened up,
it would have been good.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was something good underneath the flaws that it had.
If that was in the oven for another year, it would have been a fantastic
game.
Totally
agree. Yeah.
But yeah, so in this case, I think that they were given Korra and they were like, all right, what are the stakes here? And they're like, it's going to be a $15 downloadable with a license that people will lose their mind over. You know, make it look good, make it play okay. And they were like, let's see how this did. And it was received so-so.
Yeah,
know?
But I think it's sold. I would be willing to bet they make a lot more money off these things than they do off Bayonetta 2. Oh, definitely Bayonetta 2, because that's just sort of what's left to die on
I was
Wii U.
Reading something about them not thinking that many people would buy Korra. It was like they didn't get as much budget as they did for Transformers because they didn't think that as many of the people who watch Korra would play a video game about it.
I think it ended up selling. I don't know. I think it sold really. Yeah. I think, like Max said, it was sort of an audition. So I think each of these is going to sell better and better.
It's lower stakes. It's a much less like maker. I mean, I think that it's got Nickelodeon in the title. It's going to be a little bit less of. A little bit less expectations than Transformers, which is...
Or Ninja Turtles, for sure. Yeah.
I'm so excited about this because it's been so long since we've had a good Ninja Turtles game. Just ages and ages. And this...
Hey, what about that cool Kinect game?
Oh, there... What they need to do is... As exciting as this looks...
What? Was that real?
There's like this... Like, maybe it's not out yet, but there's like this Nintendo... Xbox Live arcade game that's like... Train with the Ninja Turtles. And it's...
Is it like a fitness game?
It's just like a dumb like fighting game thing. Like
that sounds terrible. It's not.
Yeah, it's just like you punching and.
What somebody needs to create
like
is a traditional four character RPG. That needs to happen, like a turn based or ATB style RPG with an Ninja Turtles.
I mean, because
they are
totally.
Yeah,
they're
a team. They're a four character archetype team.
Totally.
That's awful. That's a terrible idea.
No,
it's a terrible idea.
Sold. Make it.
That's a terrible idea. Because
what you're
forgetting is that all of three of you are smart nerds. And the Ninja Turtles are a stupid thing for children. And I love them to death, but like that's totally like, oh man, what if they made an X-Men themed cooking show because I like these two things? And it's like
I would totally watch that.
Yeah, four people would watch that.
So would I.
Okay, well there you go.
Do you remember those?
That would make us sales,
remember
right?
Remember those old X-Men cards in the 90s where like there was like the beach ones? It's like Wolverine, he had all these hot dogs he was cooking on his on his claws from the fire.
Yeah,
I totally get your point, but I feel like Ninja Turtles does actually have a pretty old audience. Because it's been around for so long that a lot of people who like Ninja Turtles, it's not weird for you to be 30 and like Ninja Turtles at this point.
No, but I think there's a fundamental, like, they need to punch things in the face. I think turn-based is... It shouldn't.
Well, I don't know about turn-based.
I mean, they are reactive. Turtles, but the whole thing is that the whole underlying fundamental gag of the Ninja Turtles is that they are a slow-moving animal that is ninjas.
Well, what about like Tails?
Wait, I just get that.
What about like a Tails of Symphonia type system where it's practically a fighting game in the RPG
I like
windows?
That. I like everything Jared's saying. Yeah, I want this game.
What about just a nice beat 'em up where
Jared,
you fight General Trag in a sewer?
Oh, I want to play that too.
Yeah,
I want the Rat King to show up.
Rat King's absolutely showing up.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
He's going to be running around somewhere there.
Yeah.
You know what I want in this? I'm going to list my five things I want in this game that we may not get. I want the Rat King.
Okay.
I want the Mutagen Man.
I don't know.
I want Mondo Gecko.
That's not real.
Whoa.
I want Ray Filet.
Uh-huh.
And I want
Hateful Eight,
Napoleon Bonafrog, and those nasty frog boys from Dimension X.
Wait, no Yusagi Yojimbo? None?
Yusagi Yojimbo, can Yusagi Yosuke it? I don't want any of that feudal nonsense.
What is that? Are any of these real?
He made those all up.
I want Fugitoid, but he can get his own game. Give me
he's real. He's a robot. He's got a funny
Fugitoid
head.
Fugitoid is a real robot.
Yeah, he's a real robot. He's from the comics.
Wasn't there a shark man called
comic.
Armageddon?
Yeah. Huh?
Wasn't there a shark man named Armageddon? I remember him from Turtles Tournament Fighter.
Actually, I think he was made up for that game.
Oh,
possibly.
Yeah, I think he was, almost certainly. Just like there were a couple of bosses made up for the home version of the NES Turtles 2.
Like Ninja Turtles is completely made up.
Yeah.
Wait, ninjas and turtles are real, though.
And there was that guest appearance by Cerebus in the comic. There were a bunch of them.
The Hellhound?
Yeah, but he was actually, he looked more like a rhino with a sword.
He's like an aardvark, isn't he?
He looks kind of like a rhino. Is he an aardvark?
There was a part in the 80s and early 90s when comic books were just high as
He is an aardvark.
A lot of drugs.
I mean, like, I love the formation of Ninja Turtles as this like massively successful global brand because it started out with Kevin Eastman and Peter Laird, and they were snowed in their crappy apartment in Amenia, New York, and they were like playing this game where I'm pretty sure how it works is you take a fat bong rip, and then you go, I bet you can't draw this, and you say something. There might not have been a bong there. I don't know, but it does. It does
just
kind
helps
of
with the narrative.
It fits the narrative.
Yeah.
But they were like, I bet you can't draw a turtle with nunchucks. And they were like, hey, well, you, hey, that's pretty cool. And then they took a tax return and they went down to Kinko's and they got a bunch of copies printed up and they sold them at the local comic shops.
Okay, so aside from the fat bong rips, is that a true story?
That's a totally true story.
Yeah, the napkin I draw.
I think the fat bong rips are definitely part of the story.
it would, again,
real,
you know,
a couple real deep tokes.
Fits the narrative. And then Playmates Toys was like, toke. We want to get in the toy game. And it's like, what have you been doing? They're like, we made collectible sand. Or
but
something.
They succeeded. The fact that they were able to transform it from this kind of bizarre comic book into a really pretty well done at the beginning kid friendly show. Those first five episodes in particular are really good of Ninja Turtles, except for the weird unintentional racism where they're dressed up as. Like,
it's also super sexist. Yeah, there's a lot of real gross stuff.
Yeah, also, anytime like one of them goes out into the city and is wearing a trench coat and a hat and looks like he's like a flasher, I get really uncomfortable. When it's like Donatello's
you
just
know,
gonna
that's one thing I really loved
go to
about,
a mall and freak out a family.
I really love that about like when the Ninja Turtles do that, or when in Watch Dogs, when Aiden Pierce is like, time to be sneaky, and he like pulls up his bandana and he literally looks like the guy they put up on signs to be like, watch out for criminals that you could watch.
Yeah.
Like, could you look like like put on a jersey or put on like a backwards hat.
It's
put
like
on,
his bag should literally be like a burlap sack with a money sign on it.
Yeah.
Like that's,
put on something that looks like just five times less like a cartoon criminal.
That's
I mean, to be fair, it's really hard to differentiate him from every other Ubisoft protagonist.
There is that.
He's just another white
creepy
dude with
dad.
Stubble. I'm really upset about things.
I've got to get to my daughter's birthday.
No.
I hated that guy so much.
I'm time
to
act.
My God, he is a terrible protagonist.
Yeah, yeah, I really
so
hope if Watch Dogs 2 takes place in
San Francisco.
I think Watch
Dogs 2 is going to be great.
I think it's going to be great too, but I just hope it's not him.
Yeah.
You know how
anyone
you make
else.
Watch Dogs 2 interesting? Is you have an insufferable messenger bag wearing hipster protagonist who's like a barista by day. And you just hate him right out the gate, but then you give him a fixie bicycle and you make him ride the hills real fun.
Yeah.
Real good. He's got to deliver.
He's doing the zigzags.
He's
got to
deliver letters.
Got
or
a
something.
Scarf on in the summer, trailing behind him as he goes down the hill.
If he was a real tech bro in the city, he'd be bombing with a Razor scooter.
But he wouldn't be a tech bro. You could be taking out the Razor scooter boys with your fixed bicycle.
Okay.
Do people still ride fixies?
I don't know.
Probably in San Francisco.
Yeah. Wait, so I think the point I was trying to get at 20 minutes ago, what other cartoon would you like to see Platinum work on?
Ooh, great question. Think about that.
But this is beyond everyone's favorite Ninja Turtles podcast.
Yeah, I love that.
This might be the most anyone's ever talked about Ninja Turtles. No, your show probably.
Does this have to be commercially successful? Or
no,
is
like what would you want to see?
Telltale Samurai Jack.
Ooh.
Except it's Platinum.
Oh, God. Just reskin like Metal Gear Rising?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that'd be
Jack.
So cool.
Yeah. I was thinking like Evangelion. I want to see them do little mechs that fight each other, and then you do weird, you kiss your sister, whatever that show was about.
I think there is one Evangelion game, and it's
not
trash.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a pachinko machine.
Really?
No, I mean, my friend has an Evangelion pachinko machine, and it sounds like the end of the world. Like, it sounds like the rapture.
Fitting.
When,
it's
when
really
you win,
horrible.
Does it go like, congratulations, congratulations?
I think it does.
So it's like
congratulations.
Every time Shinji talks.
I mean, when you win, it sounds like somebody shooting your house with ball bearings. Like, it's just like,
when you win, your dad judges you.
And starts playing like Cruel Angel's Thesis.
The best thing about Evangelion is how often Shinji is playing Saturn.
Shinji sucks. Don't say poor Shinji.
Yeah,
Shinji's the worst.
Shinji's really bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he had to have a Sega Saturn. That's why he was so sad.
So if they didn't have any of the humans, then I would totally play an Evangelion game.
So is this about robots?
But then, I mean, who's piloting?
What if,
it doesn't matter.
What if they made an Evangelion game where you only played as humans and the entire point of the game was just to get in the robot? You just played as Shinji and that was the end goal.
I feel like I would be ripping. I'd just be so mad. I would be ripping my hair out if I had to play a whole game as Shinji, just trying to get to Unit 1.
But like, you keep getting, you have to keep.
This is making me mad just thinking about
you
it.
You have to keep doing things to remind. You have to talk to your friends to
talk
get your friendship meter up, because otherwise you forget that you think that everyone hates you.
Increase your dad.
And you go talk to what's his face with his watermelon garden.
Just go play Final Fantasy VII. It's the same thing.
Go hide from Oscar.
Not talking about this anymore. This is not the time and place.
You gotta go return your glasses
totally
to Ray.
Is Cloud, though.
Fall over.
I just want to play as that cool penguin boy.
Yeah,
everyone's favorite penguin boy.
Yeah, you gotta get drunk with Misato.
Evangelion, Samurai Jack. What about you guys?
Thundercats.
Ooh. Oh, Thundercats is really
cool. It's weird that Ninja Turtles has always had good, like, for the most part, always has good video games. It is, for some reason, just really tied. I think it was perfect timing there. Transformers and He-Man both came out like a few years prior. Yeah. And I think at that point there was like just licensed video games weren't a thing. Like it just didn't work. Mm-hmm. So there's like a few like weird Commodore games. Thundercats also goes in this pile. I think we've gotten maybe a decent He-Man game somewhere around there, mm-hmm. like more recently with like the nostalgia type thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've definitely gotten good Transformers games kind of in the wake of the Michael Bay stuff, which is an odd silver lining to that whole thing. But like, no Thundercats. There's never been like a proper ass just big Thundercats game. There might be some handheld crap, but like I would love to see just a cool game where you could play as all those different cat people.
Yeah, those characters are practically made for a video game.
Salem Moon.
Wonderful archetypes. What's
Sailor
that?
Moon would be rad.
Sailor Moon.
Yeah. Oh, there have been a lot of those.
Platinum would do Platinum an amazing game.
Yeah,
Platinum.
Like that would be, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some halfway decent Sailor Moon arcade brawlers and fighting games, both.
What about pachinko machines?
But I'd love to
see. I've seen a fighting game, but I've never seen one of the.
Yeah, there's brawlers. There are brawlers as well. I played one in a game center in Nagoya once.
What about Doug?
Oh, Doug Funny?
Yeah. What if Platinum makes a Doug game?
Killer tofu.
What if Jonathan Blow's next game is a Doug game where you're walking around Funnyville or wherever
that'd be
place
great.
Is called?
Yeah.
Wait, I don't even remember what Doug did ever.
He's always trying to kiss that girl.
He wanted to be in a relationship with Patty Mayonnaise. He hung out with his best friend. He stayed with his dog, Pork Chop, and he listened to Killer Tofu on the radio.
I was a fan of his dog.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of dogs.
Doug sucked. Doug was a piece of shit.
What's wrong with Doug?
Doug sucks.
Like Doug himself or the show?
Doug is like Michael Cera, the show. Like, it's just he's the most insufferable.
It totally is.
He's like, oh, I just moved to a new town. My dog. I'm nothing exceptional about me.
He was good-hearted,
I'm
though.
I'm just a regular guy.
He's like, he was a victim of mediocrity, and you were supposed to sort of empathize with him, but he's just this.
It was actually just boring.
He was 11 and a half. That's the worst age. You're the Roger Klotz of
this podcast.
Good.
You're a big green bully.
Roger Klotz is fantastic. He is an interesting character. He's got cowboy boots and a cat.
Yeah.
He does. I got those things.
Wow, you really are Roger Klotz.
Yeah. He's got a single mom. He's got some issues. I keep saying
it's fine. You said it again.
You can say it as long as it's in reference to a previous one.
I like Rugrats.
Really?
No, of course not, Alana. That was the second one of Marty's lies.
Oh.
You're not getting the prize.
I'm glad I called you out on it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of funny that like the Nicktoons, like it's in the same way Ninja Turtles got like it just for whatever reason it got a lot of really good video games. Like Nicktoons kind of missed out on that. Like
Turtles just translates really well into a video game.
Well, wait, how many good Ninja Turtles games do you think there actually were? I mean,
there's
Turtles 2,
Turtles in Time.
There's the Tournament Fighters.
Yeah,
you think that's? I mean, it's okay. Have you played it in a while? It's not actually really very good.
I think it's okay.
It's passable. Look at it.
It's beautiful. It's passable. It's for like a licensed fighting game made by, what, Acclaim, was that?
I don't think they actually
produced it. Was it Konami?
I don't think they developed it.
Yeah. No, Konami had the rights. But yeah, it shouldn't have existed, let alone been playable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
You could be the
okay.
Rat King in it.
Huh? Yeah. It's a good game.
Yeah.
Max is sold.
You'd be a Rat King.
There was one of the Game Boy games that was really good, like the last one to come out. The one you play is Michelangelo most of the time and rescue the others. That's actually a really good game.
Do you think that dude did a lot of tokes?
What, Michelangelo?
Yeah. He's a party
absolutely.
Dude.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I remember reading in the Ninja Turtles role playing game.
Probably answered that seriously though.
No,
we're all like, yeah, you know, I think you would
totally. A
couple tokes.
Palladium Books did a wonderful pen and paper RPG about Ninja Turtles.
You really would hit it off with my brother. Where you make up your own mutants and crap. He's told me about this thing.
Yeah, totally. It had a really innovative like mutation system. It was really well written. Eric Widjik did it. RIP. Anyway. And great.
Who?
It was a
great. Who are we RIPing?
Okay, one of the great role playing game writers from the golden era of pen and paper RPGs.
Okay.
But where was I going with this? Oh, yeah, it said in the description of Michelangelo, I remember in the book, it said, Michelangelo is the Ninja Turtle most likely to play a role playing game. I remember that. That's cool. Yeah, I was
so
talking about
his
character.
So at some point, we're going to move on from Ninja Turtles. But before we do, who's everyone's favorite?
Oh.
Donatello.
Same.
Michelangelo or Raphael?
Leonardo, because he gets all the hate. He's got Cyclops syndrome, and I always felt sorry for him. Oh, also,
I hate Cyclops.
What a great way to pick your favorite character. Yeah. No wonder you want a Doug game.
Also,
I feel bad for him. Therefore, he's a good character.
One guy fights with forks. One guy fights with chains. One guy fights with a stick, and one guy fights with a pair of swords.
Yeah, but he never cuts anybody. He cuts down chandeliers
cuts
and knocks over ladders and stuff.
He cuts people in the awesome first Ninja Turtles movie, which I really like. He cuts people in that.
Wow, those movies are real bad.
Oh, the no, first,
those
one,
are pretty
first
good.
One's pretty, pretty good.
Good. Movies.
First one's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Real bad. I bet they're wearing trench coats all the time. Those movies.
Wearing trench coats a lot. But really, the jump between the first and the second, it is a steep descent. That first movie is kind of pretty good.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So the witness is $40.
No, hold up. No.
More Ninja Turtles. All right.
Shut it down. Right. We're going to talk about Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
It's raining out. It's a sad time of year. We're going to talk about Ninja Turtles.
It's raining. There's not a lot of news.
It is actually a very sad time of year.
There's a theory I have that people who like Donatello best are good people.
Aww.
I just have always found that people who are like, yeah, I like Donatello the best. It's sort of like, it's kind of like this Voight Kampff test for friends. And there's a similar one for Dragon Ball Z where people who like
Krillin.
Who like Krillin or Tien or Yamcha best are like nice people.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're like, rooting I'm like,
the
these
underdog.
Are, I'm like, these aren't really the most exciting characters, but if you gravitate towards them, you're probably not a murderer. Okay. But I mean, I just like to think that maybe DBC's most people
totally
aren't murderers.
Wait, who's your favorite?
Goku?
Yeah, who's your favorite? Yeah,
he's awful, but I love him.
Goku's
I interrupted you rudely. I apologize.
No, it's fine.
I think as a kid, my favorite was Trunks because I was obsessed with time travel. But I don't think I like him.
Trunks
anymore.
Is John Connor. Yeah. He's great.
Yeah, I'm a fan of Trunks. Trunks is cool.
I like that when Brian's not here because we can talk about Dragon Ball Z. And he's not like, duh, shut up, spaghetti time.
Teresa.
Yeah.
Classic Brian. Right.
So if you don't like Donatello best, does that mean you're not a good person?
I don't know.
No, it's just like a thing where someone does like that thing, it's an indicator. If they don't, it's not like, you're evil.
Yeah. Okay. There's probably Myers-Briggs logic there, where it's like, if you like Donatello, you might be this personality type. I don't know.
ENFP.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. Donatello, I like that he makes, he would totally be the one most likely to play, pen and paper RPGs.
Donatello?
Yes.
I agree.
He makes an espresso machine in the opening of the show.
Yeah. Michelangelo did too many tokes to...
Far too many hot tokes. Michelangelo, that is a very good point, Marty. Thank you.
Would be the most likely to play Xbox games.
Little Lana got me.
Yes.
Michelangelo would be the most likely to say really mean things in an online game.
Ooh. No, he would not.
Yes, he would.
Raphael.
Yes, he would.
Yeah, Raphael. But Raphael would just get mad and throw the controller.
Yeah, no, I think that he would probably try and befriend everyone over the mic. He'd be like, hey guys, this is so much fun. He wouldn't be rude to people.
He'd be like, he'd be sending messages being like, good game.
Or he might be the guy who's listening to music in the background and that's all you can hear through his mic.
Yes,
and you're like, turn your goddamn mic off.
Bringing
he's
it down to the,
like, yeah.
to the melodramatically serious for a minute. Like the fact that Raphael is mentally ill, like when I was younger, like that was really cool for me. That was one of the very first openly had mental problems characters I ever saw in
what
a comic.
How is he mentally ill?
Did you read the comics?
No.
Like back
I mean,
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah, he's suicidal. He's got terrible anger issues.
He's Wolverine.
He's
but Wolverine's not suicidal. Like
well, he can't commit suicide.
Exactly. How do you know?
I'm sure Wolverine's trying to kill himself.
But I mean, from issue four, I think at the very you have him with the anger, but then you've got him standing on the roof of the barn, looking down, thinking about jumping. Like there's all these wonderful moments where he's just kind of like, oh man, I like that
barn.
Yeah, they go out in the country with Casey Jones' uncle.
Hold the table.
It's in the movie, but it's also in the comics. They have to flee the city at one point.
And they have all those action figures where they're dressed like different kinds of farmers. Donatello comes with that cow that he can milk.
That's amazing.
That didn't happen.
Damn it. I was excited to look that up later. Yeah. So anyway, the witness costs $40.
No, it costs $39.
Oh, I'm
Quit
so
spreading
sorry.
Misinformation and
I'm
lies.
So, I'm so sorry.
Actually,
everyone's mad that a video game that has been in the works for apparently 7 years took money to do it, and they don't want to pay for it, not one bit.
I'm about to get real angry.
Yeah, and our resident Chloe is playing it, and she's put 40 hours into it already and hasn't beat all of the 700 or something puzzles.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I played
$40 is too much.
Yeah, I played 30 hours of a preview build and wasn't anywhere close to finishing.
Mm-hmm. When you think about the price of that and then put it into the amount of hours you get out of it.
Also, I don't know what is wrong with something costing $40? I don't understand.
Especially
this.
Something somebody put years and years and years of hard work into and came out with a substantive, varied, apparently really interesting new thing.
Yeah, totally.
I understand people getting used to a price point. I get that. The App Store drove the cost, what we think of the value of games, down quite a bit. Mm-hmm. At the same time, a lot of download services, even on consoles, we used to think of $15 as a premium level game because, that was what we got last generation. But when one person works that long on something this meaty, you're going to have to pay for it. It's $40. It's what you pay for a game. You're still getting a great value proposition.
The argument that is just baffling to me is what happened? XBLA games used to be $10. I'm like, are you comparing this to Uno? Like, what are you comparing this to? Like, what?
I mean, they're comparing it to Braid.
Like, yeah. This game is so much bigger and longer than Braid. Also, like, I don't know, the embargo's not up, but this game's awesome. Like, this game is incredible. So
you just
like,
bargo bust right there?
I just bargo bust. Bargo it's bust. Fine. Whatever.
Are we going to bleep out the word you just said?
This game is
meow.
Yeah, this game, and I don't know, the $40 thing, just it baffles me that people...
I mean, in Australia, video games cost $100, so everyone's freaking out. And I'm like, $40 is so cheap.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, bargain.
If somebody wants to look at something like Ori, which came out at $20, and you know, that's a large, substantial
game.
Okay,
and Ori is a beautiful game.
I understand that. But I don't think that in a world where we pay $60 for most of our games, getting something... what did I do?
No, nothing. I was looking at you.
Oh,
thanks for derailing the conversation, though. What were you saying before I made eye contact?
It seems like the value of that game, like it's basically one guy who made it, right?
No, he ended up building a very small team. Yeah.
So it seems like they've priced it at a point at what they think that they deserve, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Like literally,
they put that much effort.
He took
into
all
it.
Of his Braid money and put it into this game because it took 7 years to make the game.
And I think asking for that amount of money or the money that you think you deserve is a good thing, and that we should be supporting.
Also,
developers
the game's real pretty. It's real
that.
Smart, and it's like Lost. So yeah, I will pay $1 million for that.
Yeah, I really hate the mentality that we're owed entertainment. Like I think that entertainment has been devalued really hard. Like. Do you remember what it used to be like? It used to be like $6 to go rent a movie from the store, and then it's like, I mean, there'd be bargain stuff, but to see a new movie and it comes out and it's, you know, you go to Blockbuster or whatever, and then if you didn't return it, they would charge you more money. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, you go on Netflix and they're like, oh, there's new stuff. Great. Mm-hmm. Brand new things. I pay $10 a month and I get infinite free movies and TV shows.
You don't even actively pay that. It just like secretly takes it out of your account.
People
are definitely entitled to entertainment. Like even YouTube and Twitch streams are a really good example of that, where people get to view these things for free but still get mad at creators for not making what they want or making stuff enough or like streaming often enough. You're like, you're viewing this for free.
Yeah, and we make I think some of it, tragically, is just we know how many people work on something, and therefore we figure that determines how much we should pay for it. You know,
I mean, by that logic, that AAA games should be like $200-$300.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. I agree. I think that we sometimes undercut what people's services and hard work and their ideas, and frankly, their genius is worth. Braid's exceptional.
Oh, yeah.
And now he's come out and made something new, and I don't know what it's like yet, but I'm excited. Now, you did say it was okay for me to ask you this, Marty.
Yeah.
So
I didn't sign
what I've seen of this so far, it looks like it reminds me an awful lot of Myst, game that was a big old deal when I was a young man.
Reminds me a lot of Myst.
So is that a fair comparison? Because my memories of Myst are not so good.
Would you say they're foggy?
I would say they're foggy.
Remember Pissed?
Oh, I do.
Yes.
Yes, with John Goodman did the voice for that. And then
there was a Myst parody called Pissed.
Oh, I was like, did you just make a pun? And everyone's like, I totally remember
John Goodman was in that game. There are 5 Myst games, which is also weird.
Wow.
There's also a Myst Online at one point.
Yeah.
Like it missed the mark.
Nice.
That's real good.
It
feels like Myst in terms of its atmosphere and its loneliness and sort of its, you arrive at a place that has a history and you're sort of uncovering that history. But in terms of the mechanics, the puzzles are...
So can we talk about like the premise of this game for people who don't know without breaking embargo?
Yeah, totally.
Like you show up on an island.
You show up on an island and there are 700 puzzles across the island. And the puzzles are all... sort of the core mechanic is that you see a grid and then you trace a line from one part of the grid to the other part of the grid. The grid's almost like a checkerboard. But though that's the core mechanic, it starts teaching you the inner logic and rules of more complicated puzzles as it moves on. And you solve puzzles which bring to life other parts of the island. And you solve a puzzle that'll power a windmill. And then you go to the windmill and there's all these other puzzles. And you solve these things and all of a sudden it opens a door on a beach.
I love the impression you can also kind of choose where to go and what order to do things.
100%.
Which I think is quite cool.
As soon as you're out of the open area or the first area, the entire island's at your disposal. And it has all these little bits of narrative. It has all these... sort of environmental storytelling clues. It has journal entries and audio diaries. The game is freaking gorgeous.
And
the puzzles are just mind-blowingly difficult, some of them, but the second you understand what the game wants you to do in one of them, it has that amazing aha moment. Chloe's been saying about how she's been dreaming about the puzzles.
Yeah, it seems like it has this cool thing where if you can't figure out a puzzle, you never feel like it's the game's fault. You're aware that the game has already taught you how to do it, and it's your fault if you can't get it, that you didn't put something together, which I feel like some puzzle games screw up and that they just don't give you enough information. But it seems like this is teaching you as you go, and as things get harder, you can always refer to something that solves something else, and that will help you figure out what you're doing in the present or whatever. So I think it sounds really cool and also very in-depth.
Super in-depth.
Sounds like groovy.
Yeah.
Is the secret ending that the puzzles unlock something in your real world brain and you get superpowers?
Can games do that?
I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Maxing
for $40. $40
for $40,
that.
Yeah, totally.
I don't think that's a thing that happens ever.
Not yet.
I think there's a mentality that devalues puzzle games specifically. Mm. Like when you hear, like when I heard that this was a puzzle game and it was like not like a mysterious exploration, like you can say that, you know, Myst is a puzzle game.
Yeah.
But it's not like little board puzzles. Like if you took all the puzzles in The Witness and put them on an iPad, it would look like a cheap game.
Yeah.
You know, it looked like a $3 game. So I can see the mentality here.
I feel
like
that's still unfair, though. Like, I mean, I understand because I also see puzzle games that way, but it's unfair because can you imagine how hard it would be to make puzzles? Like make a 700 puzzles,
especially puzzles that teach you about other puzzles.
Yeah,
and
they reference each other. Like that seems like it would be very difficult.
I worked at my college newspaper. I was an entertainment editor, and there was a man who made our puzzles, and he only sent them in, and I never met him until right at the end, and he came in, and he wore a cape.
Whoa!
Nice.
Our puzzle crafter wore a cape.
Nice.
A very weird boy.
That's very, very cool.
Mm-hmm. I respect
very
that.
Very creepy. I don't.
Ever watch Wordplay?
I think it's very weird. Wordplay?
Yeah. The documentary about making crossword puzzles for the New York Times.
Yeah, the John Stewart.
Yeah, it's really good.
I watched that Sandra Bullock movie where she's a woman who makes crossword puzzles and then she gets kidnapped by the Sandman in a hot air balloon, I think.
What
movie is this?
I might have mixed up some of that, but the guy who played Sandman in Spider-Man 3 is in that film, and there was also a scene with a hot air balloon. I don't remember.
Is that the next?
Is this real?
It's a true film.
Speed 2?
True Lies.
Nope.
It's a true
film. No, it's not Speed 2.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot more on The Witness in the coming week. And
yeah,
we're also gonna try to get Jonathan Blow in here.
Cool,
awesome.
Yeah.
Hey everybody, we got the results of the most popular games of 2015. NPD is the guide to the number one. It's the high scores of the people making the games, the meta games of the games being an industry and trying to make money by selling these.
I'm sorry, what?
What are you saying?
There's a big game, and the game is called Capitalism, and the winners are these guys in the games world. Number one.
Wait, so okay. I literally.
Sales by platform are ranked in brackets from highest selling to least selling.
Okay, so yeah, NPD came in, and these are the highest, the best selling games.
You made it
of,
so boring.
Of 2015.
Trying to get people stoked
are
about
we starting
how,
at the bottom
about
of the
capitalism?
Top 10?
Yeah, we'll start at the bottom. Number 10 was Call of Duty Advanced Warfare.
Wait, number 10 of what? The highest selling game of 2015?
Yeah.
We still haven't established that.
Yes.
Yeah, I established it three times over.
You were joking and japing too much.
No, I want to point something out. People always like to equate monetary success to some standard of quality, but that's really wrong.
Well, no, because it's marketing.
It's marketing, but it's also like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, McDonald's makes a lot of hamburgers. McDonald's does not make the best hamburgers. A lot of people went and saw the film Minions, and that's a movie about some really awful little yellow spheres that are up to some bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The Paul Blart films have been successful enough that there are plural of them. Adam Sandler keeps buying new houses and making big messes in them and buying new ones. Mm-hmm. More people watch that horrible movie about the Cowboys that Adam Sandler was in on Netflix than anything else on Netflix.
But that doesn't count. That was a cheat. Because that movie auto-plays after you finish another movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, see, I actually just finished Jessica Jones 2 days ago, and it didn't auto-play. Ooh. Like, the banner for it was there, but it didn't auto-play, so I'm not sure
maybe
if that's correct.
I wonder if Call of Duty cheated by having copies that came free in anything you bought at Best Buy or something.
Well, it does say it includes collector's editions, Game of the Year editions, and bundles, but not bundled with hardware.
Oh,
so
that's
interesting.
So, yeah, this has a couple interesting things. Number 10 was Advanced Warfare, which was 2014's Call of Duty game.
The sequel to Primitive Warfare.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Far Cry, Primal Warfare.
Remedial Warfare.
Number 9 Remedial was FIFA 16. Number 8 was Mortal Kombat 10/X. Number 7 was Minecraft, now, which is still mind-boggling.
Does that include PC sales for Minecraft? It can't, can it?
No, these are only console games.
Okay.
No, this counts. Well,
some of them count.
I don't know why Minecraft's not on here.
Sorry, I didn't mean to throw things PC. Off there.
Damn it, Jared. Number six was NBA 2K16. Number five was GTA 5. Four was Battlefront. Three was Fallout. Two was Madden. And one was Black Ops 3. But the interesting things about this, which I believe Alana said right at the beginning, is that it also lists on which platform it sold the most. And Black Ops 3 sold the most on Xbox One, which I find interesting because the marketing was all, like, this was the year where Sony took control of the marketing and sort of it was tethered to that.
Actually,
and Fallout sold more on PS4, which I find interesting because that was the opposite, where the marketing was tethered towards Microsoft.
All of the shooters on this list did best on Xbox One, and the sports games did best on PS4.
So wondering if that's just interesting. That, cool, because the 360 was sort of the, hey, if you're into competitive multiplayer shooters, you played on 360 and
sure,
on PS3.
Sure, I guess because like, Halo spawned that.
Halo and even like Call of Duty was always the number one seller on 360.
Okay.
And then it's just interesting that, you know, despite the fact that there's almost twice as many PS4s out in the wild as Xbox Ones, that it's still, you know, games like Call of Duty and Fallout still sold, or Call of Duty and Battlefront still sold better on Xbox One.
You know what's really fascinating is Battlefront sold best on Xbox One when that is the most people play that on PS4.
Yeah.
Like,
didn't it have marketing for PS4?
Yeah, definitely.
More people played that on PS4 than on Xbox One and PC combined, I believe.
You mean in terms of hours or
no, in terms of number of active players.
Weird.
Yeah. Like there was some story about that a little while back. And maybe it's changed since people went and bought it for Xbox One in droves.
I mean, but it also said it's not included hardware bundles, which there was the PS4 Battlefront hardware bundle.
You're right.
And I bet that sold super well. So maybe a lot of people jumped in, you know, with that, which
maybe
was in common numbers. Yeah.
I also, a couple other interesting things here. One, that the number five selling game is a game from 2 years ago, 2013's Grand Theft Auto V, still the fifth best selling game of the year. Fascinating there, amazing, a terrific game, I understand why. Mm-hmm. And Minecraft, the seventh best selling, doesn't have a PC bracket here, and the number one sales on 360.
For whatever reason, that's... I'm not surprised by that. Like, when you think about it, it's strange, but I'm like, yeah. That adds up.
I mean,
like,
it makes sense. Just wow, still such what a juggernaut.
It's also
there.
One of the things
how is that still even in these lists? Does not everyone own it yet?
Yeah, like, I don't get
how
it.
Is it still how selling
much,
so many?
How much
copies?
Is a 360 right now? Like how much if you went out and bought one?
200
maybe? Yeah, pre-owned, I guess like 150.
Yeah. So if you've got a screaming 8-year-old who wants
Minecraft.
To play with some cubes.
Yeah.
You know, you get them that.
Kids love cubes.
That's a good point. That's a great point. I like that. Yeah.
No, we're very close to this, so we're easy to be like, but that's old. Nobody wants that. That's old. And it's like we're already talking about PlayStation 5.
I mean, I think Minecraft is amazing, but I just feel like literally everyone already owns Minecraft.
Yeah.
But they keep having children. Maybe that's it. Maybe Max is right. It's just
every time
year,
a new kid ages up.
Yeah, ages up to a certain point to start playing Minecraft.
That might be it. Because Minecraft is ageless for this foreseeable future. People are always going to like
it. Yeah,
so freaking wonderful. Yeah. Somebody told me the other day about
Minecraft.
A Minecraft mod that was like the Hunger Games that started around the Cornucopia 24. I want to play this so bad.
They
now.
Have a lot of like multiplayer map things that are Hunger Games themed. I've done one of them, but they seem really cool.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah,
I find it interesting that Mortal Kombat is on here and Witcher isn't.
Yeah, that is interesting.
I don't.
Because I feel like didn't Witcher, they had something like
Witcher
it
is
sold
a,
like
a Polish game that popped up on everyone's radar in the last 5 years, if we're being generous, and that's talking about nerd culture, you know, outside of Poland.
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat was...
Is mainstream,
effectively. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the game where Predator can fight Jason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I also feel like The Witcher will probably be something that people continue to recommend other people for several years.
Yeah.
So it's like, that'll be a game that people keep buying for 3 years, whereas once you have Mortal Kombat, you're done. There's going to be another Mortal Kombat soon.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm an idiot.
It's also a casual game where you can pick it up and you can punch your friend and rip out his spine, whereas you have to unlock that ability in The Witcher.
Mm-hmm. Also, Fallout 4 is actually the only thing on this list that isn't something you can just pick up and play. You have to be pretty dedicated for Fallout.
That's
that sticks out as a not casual game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I keep hearing people on various bus rides talking about Fallout.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
What are they saying?
They're just talking about power armor and I don't know. I didn't really play it, so... You got is there power armor in that game?
Yes, there's power armor.
Are there ghouls?
Many ghouls.
There are ghouls. Yeah, a lot of ghouls.
Gargoyles.
Gargoyles? No, there are no gargoyles. There should be though.
Do you guys ever have that thing where you're like hanging out with normal people who aren't like big nerds and they like casually bring up something that you like know everything about?
Yeah,
and you're like,
it's always very uncomfortable. Yeah. I went on a date once and this guy was trying to impress me with his video game knowledge and he was like, you know what? I just thought that Grand Theft Auto 5 was, like, revolutionary. And I was like, How so? Huh? You just like gave me all of this complete crap. Like, you could use like several characters. And I was like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the first game to ever do that.
Let's not talk about this.
Did he know what you did for a living?
Yeah, he thought he would be like impressing me with his video game knowledge, and I was just like, yeah, we should just brush over this subject.
Just move right past it.
Let's not talk about it at all.
I don't even try anymore. I just give him the full candle power of my idiocity from the beginning, and people seem to accept it most of the time.
Oh, that's the nicest sentence ever.
What the hell is candle power?
Candle power is the measure. It's the measure by which it's like horsepower.
Stop it. Stop. I don't. Okay.
It's like bulbs. Light bulbs have candle power.
Jared. Stop it.
Yeah, but he validated it.
No, I had like a really awkward moment on vacation where Jen's cousin was like, we're just like sitting there like playing cards. And he's like, so what kind of games do you play? And I'm like, I got to play like a little bit of everything for work. And he's like, he just like laughed in my face. And he's like, you have to play games for work. And I was like, all right, that's the end of that. And I just, yeah. I give up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If someone casually asks me what games I play in conversation now just to start a conversation, I'm like, literally everything.
Yeah.
And they're like, what does that mean? I'm like, I have no idea what else to tell you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My dad was like, so how's that new Star Wars? And I was like, well, Constable Zuvio made no appearance, contrary to all of the pre-release marketing would have us believe.
Yep. It is the weird, like... I don't think I've never really dated anyone who plays games. Uh-huh. And so like explain to anyone just like, what do you do for a living? And I try to explain this and they're like, why do you do that? And I'm like, I don't know, because they pay me and I like it. And it's just trying to explain any like, oh, like you play like games like Mario? And I'm like, yeah, that's one of them.
The best for me was, you know, Angie, because of her injury, is still around the house quite a bit. She can get out now some, but she's home a lot. And so sometimes for in-game dialogue when I'm playing something, I have earphone games and non-earphone games because I'm embarrassed by, you know, like Halo 5, I tried to keep turned down as much as possible so she couldn't hear anyone talk. Because in those moments, I was embarrassed by what I did for a living, just because of the stupidity of everything being said.
That's interesting.
But if it's something where I'm like, oh, I think this... Generally, if I think the game's story's good, I keep it turned up so she'll ask me about it and we'll end up having a discussion. And if I'm embarrassed of it, I'll plop earphones on and sit there and hope that she doesn't say anything.
Yeah. I like that. That's kind of cute. One time at an airport, had some, like, I don't know, 50-year-old lady was like, what do you do for a living? I was like, oh, I review video games. She was like, oh, do you like that? He was like... yeah, I do. That's why I do it. And she was like, oh.
I like the idea that you got this job. You're just like, oh, this is terrible, but I don't know. It pays the bills.
Well, let's remember what, you know, many other less fortunate people have to do every day. They're stuck in jobs they hate. Maybe that thinking about doing something you love is actually kind of a foreign concept for some people. Yeah,
it was absolutely terrible.
I walked out because it was miserable.
Me too, basically. Yeah. I quit. They owed me a bunch of money, and I was like, I don't care. Please leave.
I did it on a temp job or temp assignment, and then they were like, they basically would hire a ton of temps, and they would be like, all right, let's see who's actually worthwhile at this, and they'd bring back people if they were not terrible. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you want to come back? And I was like, yeah, fine. I went back on the first day and they were like, all right, so you're calling and doing like quality assessment of the customer satisfaction user base or something. And I was just like, yeah, all right. And after like 2 hours, I was like, I literally want to kill myself. And I just walked out.
Is that the worst job you ever had?
No. I worked graveyard shift at a gas station.
Ooh.
I still think that's cool.
I don't know. No, it's all
the word graveyard makes it sound cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. Seems like a good way to get robbed. The call center was probably the worst.
Yeah, they actually got robbed like twice in the months after I left, which is, I was like, maybe that's good.
Definitely my worst job. And then I was just abused on the phone all day constantly. It was awful.
People just screaming at you.
Like, I kind of like that as a point of reference. Like, I had an absolutely terrible job, and now I have a great job. And it's like nice to have that contrast and to have gotten out of something.
What's the worst job you ever had?
I've looked out. Most of my jobs have been super rad. I worked at a grocery store in high school that I quit after a few months because my manager came up to me and said there was a complaint that you were very rude to a woman. I was like, I totally wasn't. Like,
you're a total white man.
You're a nice boy.
Yeah, I'm a real nice boy. And so, and she didn't tell me who. And so I quit out of spite.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I got a job at a library, which was the best. I just listened to podcasts, put books away.
That sounds wonderful.
Library would be kind of nice.
Library was great.
Yeah.
So kids, don't use Adblock so we can keep our jobs.
Yeah. I don't know. It's I love that we get to do amazing fun stuff every day, but there are times when it's like, you know, I'll go on the computer isn't a fun thing anymore.
Yeah,
like I bought a computer to do work stuff with it, and I'll go on it and then I'll be like, oh, my emails, there's my email for my work, and then I'll go on Twitter and there's somebody who's being like, hey idiot, guess what? You like Metal Gear? You're wrong. Watch a video while you're wrong. And I'm like, why would you come to me and say this?
I'd actually never considered that I treat social media as work and other people would have it for fun, but you're totally right.
Yeah.
Like, the way that I look at Twitter isn't like, I'm going to interact with cool people on the internet. It's like, I'm probably going to have someone yell at me today.
Yep.
It's like, I don't look at it as a fun thing to waste time like other people probably
do. No, I mean, like, I don't mean to, like, gripe about our cool jobs and complain about it, but, like, there's this point where it becomes, like, you get kind of paranoid, and it's not so much, like,
there are downsides to everything, and it's not apparent because...
I was about to see a therapist a few years ago, and they, like, before you go and see a therapist, they're like, they give you a form, and they're like, fill this out. Did you ever see things that aren't there? Or do you ever eat poison from under the sink? Or, like, here are the things you do. Like, check yes or no. And it was like, do you ever feel like people are following you? And I was like, yeah, about 30,000 of them on Twitter. What's up? And then I was like, why is that good?
I need help.
I don't know.
Yeah, and that it's valid. There are parts of this that stink and are frightening, and the death threats are sometimes scary. But
there are free bagels every Wednesday.
But the other side of that again, I've seen the other end of it too. I mean, something bad happened to me, and thousands of people I didn't know made my life better too.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember.
No, we
that.
Get a lot of really wonderful emails from fun people, and we get hi guys, hello. I'm sorry, we're getting in a weird hole right now.
And we also spoke about Ninja Turtles for like 20 minutes today, so that's great.
Yeah, that happened.
Hey,
we got to do that.
We didn't spend the first 20 minutes ordering food.
What?
That was a great call. I think that was wonderful. I like the fact that they were very tired and that they ordered food and that people got upset at that.
Yeah,
I don't remember this.
That was this week. People were not happy with that. Greg Collin.
I missed that.
I love you.
Hey, gang.
Oh, I didn't miss that.
Hey, gang.
Hey, gang. Hey, everybody. Oddworld New and Tasty is on Vita. Yeah. Why should you care?
You shouldn't.
You should.
Okay.
There we go.
Point, counterpoint.
Go!
Oh, no. I just don't like Oddworld. I think those games are ugly. I don't like the mechanics. I think the worlds are gross. I don't think they control very well. Hmm. I think they're kind of dumb puzzle games.
You work as a dirty little boy in a meat factory.
Yeah, I don't want to be a dirty little meat factory.
I would have thought that you liked Oddworld.
I know. In paper, I should.
Yeah. I don't usually like puzzle games, but there's just enough action in this to them. It's kind of like a Prince of Persia, the puzzle game. I think that works really well. I don't think it's for everybody, but the humor is pretty good.
It's all fart humor.
You can push a button.
There's more than the fart humor. You get that little humor, too. And the little guys explode. But you make dudes blow up. That's funny. Yeah. And I was like, hello, follow me. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait. I think the humor is pretty dumb, but I feel like Oddworld has a lot of personality. Yeah. In a way that I look at it as something that's kind of iconic, and I would say that everyone should try it when it's easy to play. Oh,
I love Stranger's Wrath.
Yeah, Stranger's Wrath is cool. Yep. I think that the two to play are this one and Stranger's Wrath. Those are the only two I actually really enjoy. Mm-hmm. But Abe's Odyssey is good, and New and Tasty, you know, takes that and makes it accessible again. So I think that's why you should care. Plus, it's a well-suited game for Vita.
They had a fan got to pick the name.
Yeah.
I believe.
I didn't know that.
Really? Really cool, and that's how they ended up with New and Tasty, is they had like a poll and people got to like submit and then vote for the coolest one.
I didn't know that.
New and Tasty one.
Yeah. I don't know. It's cool though. But
surprising.
Great little portable setup though. I mean, this is a game that you play at home in little chunks anyway. So you can play it puzzle by puzzle, come back to it. And
that's cool.
I see it as being like a public transport kind of thing.
Yep.
You play it when you're on the train.
It is a level of weird that I wish there was more of in games.
Yep.
Like, I feel like they are a kind of rough edge from the same era as like Parappa the Rappa and a lot of those kind of odd corners. Like, we talk a lot about how having affordable, cheap media on CD-ROM for the PlayStation made it a great testing bed for a lot of weird concepts.
And so experimental.
Yeah. I think it says a lot that the Oddworld kind of name kind of died out and just only recently resurfaced when we have digital distribution. So there's that.
Yeah.
What's the story with those with them Jango Fetts and the Jedi Starfighters and the Pod Racers Revenge?
Jared.
Well, I'll tell you, if you go to the PlayStation Store right now, you can have these old Star Wars games on your brand new console. That's right. So Bounty Hunter, Star Wars Starfighter, and Racer, one of the Racer games.
It's Racer Revenge.
Racer Revenge, thank you. Which is the one I'm not familiar with. I haven't played Racer Revenge. How is Racer Revenge?
I don't know. I played Pod Racer and I played Bombad Racing.
I wish Bombad Racing came out.
Honestly, if I was going to pick three Star Wars games to have available for download, none of these would be it.
Nope.
But they're there. And, you know, if you want to be Jango Fett and hunt down the scum and villainy of the galaxy, you can do so now.
You know what sucks is when you're like, hey, I really wish they'd make a game about Boba Fett. And like hundreds of people are like, yeah, but what about Jango Fett? I'm like, is Pepsi
what about
okay?
him?
Yeah.
Well, this is when they did, you know, this is when, like,
yeah, that is the
there
equivalent.
Were 20,
is Pepsi
20 game tie-ins for every movie. I mean, you had Episode 1 Racer, and you had Phantom Menace, and you had Ender Jekyll Fett, because you had just game after game after game. It's actually shocked me that outside of Battlefront's Jakku content, and a little bit of like iOS lead up. There hasn't been more Star Wars thrown at us.
Yeah. Games are more expensive now.
And Disney's been very, very careful with their properties. Like, I'm mm-hmm. still amazed that there wasn't a Marvel. Like, there hasn't been like a big old Avengers game.
Yeah, they're mm-hmm. figuring that out, I think.
Still, the weirdest thing, I think, is that there's no Twilight game or no Hunger Games game. Like, non-mobile free-to-play
game. Wow, a Lego Hunger Games would totally work.
Yeah.
Yeah, thematically, I think it's where you run into problems there because it's about killing children. That's where you're going to have to be.
That would do so hot.
That's a good point. Yeah, Lego wouldn't do that.
A bunch of kids die in Harry Potter.
Also, did you say Twilight, really?
I think it's weird that there was no Twilight game.
There's no Twilight. Like, there's no.
There probably is.
There should be Vampire Baseball. Have I said this on the show before? I think there should.
The only way you care about baseball if it was Vampire Baseball.
That'd be sweet.
You know what? I miss those weird licensed sports games where it was like.
I meant soccer.
Yeah,
or Jerry, just not Jerry Rice dog ball.
Yeah. Like Jerry Rice and Nidus, and I was like, "What is Nidus the developer?" And it's like, "No, it's Jerry Rice's dog." I'm like, "Oh, okay, I get it."
Yeah,
what kind of a name is Nidus? That's weird.
Yeah,
that's weird. I was thinking about it, and I think that there should be a Nickelback baseball game. It's Chad Kroeger's Bathroom Baseball, because he's got that line in that one song where he's like, "I want a bathroom big enough to play baseball in," and I just want a game where you play as like a 9-inch tall Chad Kroeger in this giant baseball bathroom.
That sounds great.
Yeah, but you're
didn't
like
they
a
block you on Twitter.
You're like a bar. Yeah, Nickelback blocked me on Twitter.
Nickelback blocked Max on Twitter.
Why did they do that?
Nickelback and Garfield.
And when you win a game, he's like, "I'll have the quesadilla."
Look at this photograph.
Yeah.
Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, there'd be like an image gallery. You can. There's a camera mode. You can go around and take pictures of all. Chad Kroeger.
If I've told this already, God. Shut me down. But I tell you about the Nickelback Ghost in the Machine story.
What?
Yeah. So
one night,
I was here after work months ago recording old Mortal Kombat footage for a feature. And I recorded lots and lots of fatalities from Mortal Kombat 2, Mortal Kombat 3, original Mortal Kombat. I was recording these off an Xbox 360, and I spent like 3 hours doing this. I gave it to Destin the next day to edit it together. And the next day, Destin's like, "Jared?" And I was like, "What?" He brought me over to his desk and he started playing it. And all of the Mortal Kombat footage from all three games, from all my recording, had the same Nickelback song running in an endless loop over and over and over again over the songs through all the footage.
Which song was it?
I don't. Some Nickelback song? I don't know.
Was it Here Comes the Next Contestant?
I don't know what it was. It was a terrible Nickelback song like all Nickelback songs. I wasn't listening to it. It wasn't on my computer, and I don't know how it happened.
Okay, this is genuinely spooky.
Yeah, so that's the Nickelback Ghost in the Machine story.
Huh.
We could find the footage. I've still got it, I think, somewhere.
Wow. Still hilarious. With the Nickelback
how have you
song?
Not
uploaded it? It's like, check out our Mortal Kombat X Nickelback AMV we made.
Yeah,
like, we get that YouTube strike.
But yeah, I had to re-record all the footage because it just had this endless Nickelback song playing.
Oh, that's amazing.
I've never figured out what happened. Yeah.
Wow.
I
don't know how that happened.
That's so great.
That's my favorite mystery ever.
I feel like if anyone else told me that story, I would think they were lying. But I absolutely believe you.
No, Destin
also
will tell
haunted.
You. Yeah, just go ask Destin about it.
Twitter chillers.
My suspicion is that maybe on the 360 hard drive, somebody had that song and only that song. And maybe it was playing really, really quiet, like on the autoplay, and then got elevated in recording through one. I don't know. Anyway,
that could happen.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like it. So, it's good.
Who knows?
I'm terrified.
Yeah,
I'm scared.
Nickelback Ghost in the Machine.
Yeah,
you heard it first. Here first.
How did we get here? All right, it's time for rapid fire.
How the hell did we wind up like this?
I hope you leave here limping. Dan Reardon said, "Do you think the Order 1886 will get a sequel?"
I do.
Really?
Why?
Because I think
Did you like it?
No. Huh. I think Ready at Dawn made a very interesting world, a very pretty video game.
Very pretty.
I think that world's rife for continuing with the story. I think they just didn't do quite a good job of making a video game. I think the shooting was really dull. And I think there was enough money put into that where I think that's going to be used as a stepping stone for what happens next.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they can't.
I don't know.
People passionately hate it, so I feel like if they want to make a sequel, their marketing would be like, "This is going to be way too difficult to make people care about this again."
I don't know.
They'd make something that's really similar to it, but better. Yeah. But I can't imagine like.
I think for exactly the same reasons, I think they will because
people
they
will talk about it.
Yeah, and because they lost so much money on it.
Yeah,
and people are, I mean,
the universe is really interesting.
And we're great apologists for things. We're like, hey, we'll look at it back, and everything was like, oh, they'll get it right this time, and they very well may.
Mm. Yeah,
and I think, but from a business end, I think they're like, wow, we didn't make the money we want to make. We really need to make another one.
I don't know if necessarily Ready at Dawn will make it.
I just feel like it'd be so hard to sell, you know?
No, it could be.
No, because we know what the order is. Like, you know, like that's the having the footprint of the
That's
marketing
true.
Foundation
yeah,
already
half
there.
Half of the marketing battle is getting people to recognize the name, and they already have that.
I mean, look at, like, video games are such an iterative medium that, like, it, and so much of it is, like, kind of creating a brand that people recognize. Mm-hmm. But, like, I mean, the fact that we talk about, like, Uncharted 2 is the best one. Assassin's Creed 2.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone loves that. Like, the fact that they had a That's first true. One that was, like, I mean, it did well commercially, but, like...
Assassin's Creed's a really good example.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you can also talk about, like, Far Cry like that. That's mm-hmm. a game that's kind of been reinvented yeah. a number of times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that we're going to definitely see another Order game because they were a lot of that was also kind of prototyping this filmic technology.
Oh, totally. What if we get the Order
1986? I hope that we see another one because, like, I really was interested in that universe. I just feel like it wasn't executed that well.
Also
like,
had the
I would
nicest
love to see
water and reflections.
It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. It was just such a pretty game.
Remember when we did that Let's Play and they wouldn't let us walk around that topless zone?
What a stupid problem to have.
You know the game was all about killing things?
Yeah.
We weren't topless.
We couldn't say the F word, but there's a pair of big brazounces right there. A bunch of ladies with cholera brazounces. Or whatever. Yeah,
real big brazounces.
If they made the Order 1986 and it yep. was like this just like blood dragon ass like Teen Wolf hunting game where you're like,
whoa. Yep.
Yeah, you look like Captain N, but you're fighting Teen Wolf. Like yep. that would be a badass Sweet. Game.
Oh, man, that'd be another great weird sports game. Teen Wolf basketball.
That would be great. Yeah. Werewolf basketball in general would just be a yeah. good game.
Actually, I think there is a Master System game about werewolf basketball. Come to
where you can just
it.
Kill your opponents and it's totally fair.
Yeah, I think that actually happens. That game is real, except you don't kill people. You're just a werewolf.
No, that's where they screwed up.
Bill Laimbeer's yeah. werewolf basketball.
Yeah. I love how like they made that new NFL Blitz and they were like, we've taken out the ability to totally F up your friends for no reason. The NFL frowns upon that sort of behavior. And it's like, oh, okay. Well, people who play video games frown upon boring video games. Idiots. Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah. We're making a new Iron Maiden album, but it's all acoustic guitars because the old one was too loud.
Too darn loud.
Adam Rowland says, Alana, have you hunted down a decent hash brown yet? I saw your tweet decreeing American hash brown standards.
Well, that was like 12 hours ago, so.
So in that time, you haven't gone looking for more hash browns?
Well, Marty did buy me one today.
I bought her a hash brown.
What is, in your definition, what is a hash brown?
A hash brown is... the hash browns that you get at McDonald's. It's something that's like...
So it's like a little...
It's like a little thing.
So it's like a knish.
Together, like and it's solid. Whereas American hash browns are just like someone grated a potato and then put it on a pan for a little bit, and it's like you try and eat it and it just falls apart and it's like a messy goop of potato.
Are you eating it with your hands? What's your deal? Get a fork.
It still falls apart. It's not... doesn't... You know, I like hash potatoes being...
So like a croquette.
Hash browns being like crispy.
Yeah,
yeah, like a croquette style. Right. That's what you like.
I hate that there's this yeah. awful miscommunication. It is worse than the American and English terms for clothing, where it just gets like... You're like, oh, it's a vest. And it's like, do you mean a waistcoat or an undershirt? Yeah. Like, what are you talking about?
Wait, what?
Do you know... Okay, so what in Australia, when you talk about a shirt that has no sleeves, what is that? Like a tank top?
A singlet.
A singlet. There you go. Yeah. Entirely new thing.
That's not a word we know about. Before. Yeah.
Yeah. I dated a British girl, and she would be like, you left your vest at my house. And I go to my closet. I'm like, no, my vest is right there with the rest of my three-piece suit.
What do you think a vest is?
A vest.
A vest is a waistcoat.
Part of a three-piece
like,
suit.
That is the
So I feel like a vest is like a thing that buttons up in the front.
Yeah.
Right.
And
so, yeah, she thought that to her, that's a waistcoat. And a vest was my undershirt that I, and a, yeah.
Weird. Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when I went to her apartment, it took off my shirt.
Duck funny words.
Yeah.
Kisses. A hash brown to me is like a McDonald's hash brown, and then an American hash brown is potato hash.
So mm-hmm. that depends where you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's actually local. Yeah. Like you can, the words are used
potato
interchangeably.
Potato hash exists here as well?
No. Hash brown. It yeah. is used both ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, of course,
sure,
there's home fries.
Because I order a hash brown and I
there's
want
home fries.
I know is a hash brown. Yeah. I don't get that.
Taters.
No, if you ask for potato hash, nobody knows what that is.
Mm-hmm. And then there's... Then you get into like country fries,
yeah.
home style fries, skillet fries.
Shut up.
It's just, I
Greek
love hash
potatoes.
Browns so much, especially when I'm hungover. And the first like three times that I ordered them, I got this like messy shredded potato and was like, I'm just so upset.
There's a place, sorry, Alana, you're just going to have to stop drinking.
There's a place in North Beach I went to this weekend called 15 Romolo that has, you'd love their hash browns.
Yeah.
They're cubes though.
Yes,
but
that's good.
It's like
no, that's
it's
good.
It's
as
like
long as
little
it's
companion
together
cubes.
Mm-hmm. And it's crispy.
It's very crispy.
And it's like kind of a little bit
salty.
Crunchy.
Yeah.
To answer your question, Adam Rollins, still only at McDonald's.
All right. Yes. Okay. Michael Gulliver says, ahoy. Which 2016, I can't even say the name of the year it is. I'm off to a great start this year. Which 2016 game do you think will be the biggest pleasant surprise, and which do you think will potentially disappoint?
Fun fact, they're both the same game, No Man's Sky. So yeah, I think that for some of us, it's going to be the best surprise ever. It's going to be a giant game about exploring a big happy universe where things go on forever, and I can be happy taking my picture of giraffe dinosaurs and being the first giraffe dinosaur finder ever in the history
I'm
of the
really
galaxy
worried about that
and
game.
Going back to everything, and that's going to be awesome and wonderful. And for me, that's everything I've wanted in video games since I was 5. And for exactly the same reasons, half the human race may end up not liking
There's
it.
There's no story!
Exactly. Miranda and I talk about this a lot. The things that excite me about that game so much make her absolutely want nothing to do with it. So I'm
really excited about it in theory, and everything I've read about it makes it sound amazing, and it's just incredible that it functions. But everything I've seen of it, I don't care about playing it at all.
Oh,
There's
really?
Nothing about it that makes me want to play it. It looks boring as hell. And, like, having a lot of planets doesn't mean that those planets are going to be interesting.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I'm really impressed by it, but nothing I've seen thus far has actually made me want to play it.
You know what makes me want to play it? Like, I'm wary of it. This is a great example. This is totally, like, it could go either way. What would make me want to play it is if it's a VR game.
Ooh.
And
it's,
there was some mind-altering substances involved.
Tooks!
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Get lowercase effed up on something a little bit, just a tiny bit, not like, you know.
I feel like it is going to be a PSVR game.
And then you put on a weird hat, and I'm in my living room, but I'm not, because I'm in space.
You're in a space living room.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like, you know, everything in that space is going to look pretty much the same.
Seen of it doesn't make me think that everything's going to look pretty much the same.
We've only ever seen the same stuff. That's why I'm worried about it. Like, why would they not show us more?
Did you play Proteus?
No.
God, I love Proteus.
Proteus is, like, one of my favorite games ever, and it is a procedurally generated game based on the idea that what if things around you made some noises? And there's no objective except to walk around until the sun sets.
Yeah.
And the seasons change. And maybe you see an owl.
That sounds cool to me.
But there's, like, a different owl. There's
you
bats.
Saying that you play that game under your covers on your Vita is probably my favorite thing ever.
It's wonderful. Yeah. It's a wonderful game.
It's a game to play under covers.
But then, like No Man's Sky looks like that game, but if you injected Star Wars and space travel into it and dinosaurs.
Yeah.
I hope there's still an owl.
If there's not, then I still think my thing is that they're always saying, like, we're keeping secret what's at the center of the universe. And I 100% think it's, like, the Milky Way. It's going to be like our planets. Like, you can go to Earth.
Oh, like to Earth.
Aww, mm-hmm. That'd be cool. Wow.
I'm kind of hoping it's that big face from Star Trek V that's in the middle of the galaxy.
Oh, that'd be
spooky.
That'd be too spooky. The one they went in the machine.
They went and found God. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't really God. He was some guy.
What if you find your friends in there? Like, I like the idea that your friends are in the game. Like, you know, you get a party chat going, but you're like, where are you? And it's like, oh, I'm another side of the galaxy. And you just, like, spend 3 hours just traveling, trying to get to that place.
That'd be cute.
I like to hope it's Simpsons versions of everything you've already seen.
I could do that.
But on that note, I feel like when it was first announced and I first started learning stuff about No Man's Sky, I was super interested. It's just like over time, that's become almost complete disinterest. Mm-hmm. And it actually could be my pleasant surprise because of that.
Totally.
Because of my attitude towards it now.
Yeah, I sort of feel the same way, but like...
I'm still very curious about
it. My one for both of these is Final Fantasy XV. I think I'm either going to adore or be very disappointed in Final Fantasy XV. I hope I adore it because I really like Duskai.
I think the biggest pleasant surprise would be the game that they announce at E3 that comes out this year and actually comes out this year, and the potential disappointment is the game we think is coming out this year.
It gets delayed.
Mm-hmm. I think that sustaining that interest is the least fun thing in gaming right now.
Yeah.
When something is announced and it gets like pushed back, and I'm just like, I don't care anymore. The part of games I like is playing them, not talking about them ahead of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's a good question, though. I feel like that's a tough one to answer.
Mm-hmm. We only got...
We got more Brappies.
Do we got more?
I think I only
have
them on here, though.
Here are all the page twos. Okay, there's more rapid fires coming up right now. Federico Gomez says, if you could only had one type of food for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Hash browns.
Sushi.
Coco Ichiban curry.
Shut up, Jared.
Well, I mean, are we thinking
next step, Chichikoku Yama Hospital?
Why is that bad?
Are we thinking about this in like a nutrition thing, or are we thinking about it in like
just what you like.
Lasagna.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. Specifically my stepdad's lasagna.
Yeah, that's me. It's Japanese curry, it's just one restaurant. Why is that weird?
Ronspies? Okay. What's your favorite music in a game?
Katamari.
The opening stage scene from Guardian Legend where you're flying up the corridor and it has those really sweet wood flutes.
That's a Jared-ass answer.
Mine would be, I think it's called like the Guardians theme or Hail the Guardians, something from Darksiders 2. It's like during this boss fight and it's just this beautiful song.
Wow.
You
Wasn't expecting that.
It's Jesper Kidd, I think. No?
Yeah. Jesper Kidd did the song.
It's a beautiful song. Like that game didn't stand out to me that much, but that song, like, I think about it all the time, and other music makes me think of that song and makes me want to go listen to it again. It's just like a really, really powerful song.
Will you send me a link to that? I don't remember this.
Sure.
Also,
it's
Journey.
Beautiful.
Journey's really good.
Journey's good.
Also, Banjo-Kazooie.
I want to say a lot of Rockstar game stuff.
Yeah.
The Tangerine Dream stuff from GTA 5 is incredible. I've become like a huge Tangerine Dream fan in general, which is a really horrible sentence to say out loud.
Just remember the name of the song. It's The Maker's Guardian.
Have they blocked you yet?
No, Tangerine Dream would never block me because I don't start fights with them on Twitter. I don't think they have Twitter also.
I'm like Garfield.
It's just Nickelback and Garfield.
That and Max Payne, the music by Health, was really cool.
Oh my god, that soundtrack is so
that
rad.
That airport sequence. If you never finished Max Payne 3,
it's such a good game.
Get in Love there, or maybe check it out online or something, but like that's one of those rare occasions when
the whole airport thing is just...
And then you die 300 times, and you're like, alright, let's try that again.
The part on like the trams?
Yeah.
That was infuriating.
But just walking in to the airport,
yeah,
it starts playing this track, which is Tears by Health. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it is one of those rare moments where you're like, I feel incredibly cool in the context of this game because of the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Dragon's Dogma just got released on
PC.
Steam or PC. Do you know if that is it Dark Arisen or is it Dragon's Dogma?
Ooh, I don't know.
Because the original Dragon's Dogma had this amazing opening theme that was just incredibly cool, but then Dark Arisen kind of got rid of it for whatever reason.
That sucks.
It was called All Roads Lead to Grand Seren. And then
true.
In parentheses, human bones that move on their own. And then in more parentheses,
true.
Master Harpies.
Harpies.
Travail Campbell says, who out of you in the room is what character from The Force Awakens? That's a good question for a PlayStation podcast.
Oh, I like that.
Number one platform for Force Awakens video games.
Rapid Fire is not just about PlayStation.
God.
Gosh. So. Max would be Constable Zuvio.
Yeah.
Represent.
Well,
somebody has to be Constable Zuvio.
You seem wise and sagely, Marty. I think that you would be a wise and sagely character.
Maz Kanata?
Perhaps so, yeah.
She has better vision than I do.
That's a good point.
I want to be. I could be Maz Kanata.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah,
you got the glasses.
I call Chewbacca my boyfriend,
and you would own a space.
I like that Wookiee.
Yeah. You could own a space bar. You could
totally own a space bar.
Oh my god, yeah, that's perfect.
Okay, yeah, totally that.
Jared, I think you're Quiggled.
Who's Quiggled?
Quiggled is the sidekick of Crimson Corsair, Captain Athano.
Really?
He's the spaceman who Finn almost goes off with. There's a guy who's got the head that looks like the red boomerang.
That's my least favorite scene in the whole movie.
Yeah.
Where they get on the pirate ship?
Jared, I think you're BB-8.
Oh.
I would rather
have
be
you,
BB-8.
Have you read the Expanded Universe stuff with Quiggled? Because he's like this, he's this peg-legged fellow who has who's very like very smart, very concerned with everything going on, has some prayer beads, is kind of like the narrator and is very like knowledgeable. And he's hanging out with this pirate captain.
Which piece is this from?
This is Count Dooku's Treasure. This is a short Star Wars ebook.
I haven't read this yet.
Yeah, we're in the weeds now. What's up?
Okay, I haven't read this yet. I need to.
Okay, well, I can also tell you about it after the show.
All right.
Yeah.
I have a new vault after the show. I'll have to do it.
Alana would be all of Kanji Club.
Oh, tell that to Kanji Club.
Okay.
Oh, that's so mean.
Yeah, sure.
Daniel Esteban Moore.
Foreign?
You're not that foreign.
Who is Alana?
Pretty foreign.
Kanji Club.
No,
Daniel Esteban Moore says, did you like the ending of Lost?
No.
Who picked these questions?
Who picked these?
I picked these questions.
Obviously.
I put this entire thing together.
Thank you, Marty. We really appreciate your hard work.
The end of Lost was space garbage.
I didn't like the finale of Lost, but I liked the final season of Lost. And Lost is my favorite thing ever. So, there.
Really?
I stopped before the ending.
Oh, Lost. I never watched Lost.
Lost is, I think, my favorite art ever.
But you didn't know that it was his favorite thing ever?
What?
He talks about it all the time.
I talk about it a lot.
I don't know. You talk about a lot of stuff all the time. You're a very passionate man.
Which is mostly Lost, though. It's like, this is at least the fifth time I've heard you talk about Lost today. You spoke about it in our Final Fantasy meeting.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, hey, let's talk about Lost.
The first season of Lost is among the best seasons of filmed entertainment ever put on.
Yeah.
But it lost me quickly after that.
Same. I'm totally the same.
Yeah. My fiance, after she graduated dental school, had a brief period of unemployment while she was waiting to get her dentist license, and she's a fidgety little weirdo who cannot be unoccupied with some attention span consuming thing for any period of time.
At the moment, it's Amish people.
No, it's changed.
Or she moved on from Amish
people.
But
she is a crazy person who just like will just binge consume all sorts of stuff.
I think it's fascinating.
She burned through, I think, all five seasons of Fringe, and I want to say all of Lost in like a 2 week period.
Like
terrifying.
Less hours than there are days.
Like, she did this like on in the background while she was like steam cleaning the entire house because our carpet was dirty.
I feel like Jen in my head is like the textbook definition of a nerd, where she gets slightly interested in one thing and then consumes everything that she can about it in like a really intense period of time. Like all the stuff she was telling me about Amish people was just amazing. She's like, I can't stop listening to these podcasts and reading these books.
Why is she on like a Mennonite kick? Like what happened?
She's just, she finds something.
Yeah, she just finds something and then like wants to consume everything about it. Yeah. I feel like it's really cool.
Clever girl.
Max,
but no,
you
she.
A dick? What's going on?
No,
there?
I'm drawing a face, a man of a man face.
All right, looks like a dick.
Dust.
Yeah, she got to. My understanding is that like at season 3 of Lost, you just stop, and that's and then it's your happy person.
No, you keep going. Season 5 is incredible.
I hear you're a happy person if you stop at 3. And
nah, man.
That's it. I don't know anything about that show.
You heard right.
All right. This concludes episode 4,926 of Podcast Beyond. What are we on? 427?
427.
427. Cool.
The Ninja Turtles episode.
Thank you all so much for listening. apologies if we seem weirder than usual. It was a 3-day weekend, and then it rained today. And as hardworking Californians, that means we stopped functioning. We're like weird mole people.
People fainted on bot?
Really?
There were like 4 separate people who fainted today.
Good heavens.
And it like caused this
precipitation
this issue because people are like, oh, it's raining.
What a stupid bunch of babies we all are.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I shouldn't make fun of people who collapsed, actually.
if you'd like to follow me on Twitter and let me know what the official accounts for Nickelback and Garfield are saying, I sure would appreciate that because they both blocked me. I'm Max Scoville. Alana, you're Char Alanazard.
Yes.
If you know a great place to get hash browns in the Bay Area that fit this very specific Australian definition of that breakfast treat, let Alana know. If you disagree with Marty about anything, the best way to make him upset about having differing views is on Twitter. He's McBiggity.
Man, everyone was
two
really mean to me this weekend. I got a lot of meat. I got someone posted my address to me, and I'm like, yep, that's my address.
So this I think if you get doxxed and have your information posted publicly, you should be totally allowed, guilt-free, to have a Amazon wish list like a cam girl.
I was really interested in where that was going to go. I was like, is he going to say orgy? What's he going to say next?
No, I think you should be like, well, guess what? I get presents. I get to have nice apology presents.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of
cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Jared, if you want to talk to Jared about your favorite tabletop pen and paper RPGs back before they had graphics and everyone had to draw stuff on graph paper.
Yep.
Jared is Petty, Jared.
I love that username, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you.
It's a good one.
Nice of you.
It sounds like an administrative mistake, though. You were at the offices of Twitter, and you're like, all right, first name, last name, last name, first name. And you were like, Petty, Jared. And they were like, there you go. And you're like, oh, this isn't what I wanted at all. Oh, heavens.
It forces me to be concise because I lose like 10 characters.
Yeah.
Really long.
I like that.
Wait, really?
Oh, yeah. Well,
because your username makes you lose characters?
Yeah, sure does. That counts toward the 140.
Huh. That's so stupid.
Not know
what
that.
A dumb website that is.
Yeah. Email us at the address beyond@ign.com or go into the Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups.
Maybe I'm wrong about that.
/podcastbeyond.
We think.
Possibly.
I think
we'll
I was wrong
consult
about
with our sources and let you know the full website.
But that's a wonderful
address next
that's
week.
A wonderful group of folks, and that's where we get rapid fire from.
Yeah, and we had a nice time sitting in a room and chatting about some stuff.
Yeah.
Let us know what you thought. If you have any topics or stuff you'd like us to talk about, hit us up, email us, Facebook us, tweet us, whatever. We
not
like
a
all
hugely
that.
Busy time of year for places.
Yeah, that's the thing
right now,
is we're dredging the bottom. That's why I ended up
I like
talking
that we,
about turtles.
We spent 20 minutes talking about whether or not Hideo Kojima and Mark Cerny got any kiss.
Yeah.
We concluded that they did. So
yeah.
I just think.
A real nice kiss.
I thank you for asking me to join your fine program today.
Yeah.
Jared, kind of you. Anytime.
Always a treat. You do a Fallout podcast, correct?
I do. We're going to record it here in a moment.
You have to do it in the sweaty room, though.
Yeah. We always have to do it in the sweaty room after you guys. It always smells like PlayStation in here afterward. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. You asked
something.
We have a
smaller profile because we don't have as much ventilation in here.
It's
the place
it is really hot in here.
You just asked something and I missed it because I was talking over you.
The Fallout is called The Vault. Is that the name of your show?
The Vault. It's called The Vault. Vault Hides
Away. Go check it out. Brian will be back next week to shout over all of us trying to talk about Dragon Ball Z and other anime shows
because
he hates anime. If you like anime, check out Anime Club. If you like Brian, well, he'll be back. So goodbye.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleep Wave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.